Last week we started, I think we started before, but we reviewed. But this week we're going to continue. So what are we reviewing and what are we continuing? Good morning, good morning. There is enough. Yeah, beautiful. So we are in Parshas Balak, which is one of the most fascinating Parshas. Very interesting story, and we're at the beginning, at the interesting part, and today we'll get to the real interesting part of the story. And as we saw last week, and we continuously see, whether it be the Parsha of the week, whether it be whatever Chumash we're learning, whatever Torah we're learning, actually, it always seems to somehow fit in with everything we experience. It's always connected. And this story is no different. The story almost is this, and we'll see today, underlying a lot of the different themes, we'll see how people haven't changed, even though we think they've changed. Our perspectives haven't changed that much. And the challenges that we go through are similar, quite similar in many, many ways. But what is the story? So last week we saw, and we went into detail, and we're not going to go into detail again, about Bilam and Balak and Moav and all the different countries, and the Jewish people are camped outside and they're petrified. And we know that Balak, who is the king, wants to do something to get rid of the Jewish people. He invites Bilam to come, that's what we'll see, to curse the Jewish people. Like, he has to think of a plan, how he's going to... Good morning and good morning. I think there's still one, yeah, there, right? So you can, if you don't mind, to share. Okay, so to what we were up to, it's not to...
You don't have to share completed.
Oi,
Rona. Oi. I'll just listen.
There we go. So, as we saw last week, Bilam is being summoned. Bilam is this magician, or whatever. He's known all over the world, and he's being called to come by the king Balak mainly. Balak sends messengers, and Bilam is being called to come, and the mission is clear. They're making it very clear. They're saying to him, we want you to come to curse the Jewish people. Now, Bilam, we explained last week a little bit what is really his strength, what's his ability. And mainly his ability was that he was able, through his spiritual insights, to know perhaps when Hashem is not happy with somebody. And when he saw Hashem was upset with somebody, he would say, oh, well, now is a good time to tell him something negative will happen, because obviously if Hashem's not happy with them, something negative will happen. In other words, he wasn't really a prophet in that real sense. He was more, a little bit more spiritually in tune, perhaps, than the people around him. But one thing he did know, Bilam was very aware, because he was just a little bit spiritually in tune, that there's no way that he's going to have the capacity, the ability to do anything to the Jewish people, not positive or negative, unless Hashem allows him to. He's aware of that. And that's why we see that when the messengers come originally to call him, so he does say to them, wait and sleep here tonight, and I'll consult with, you know, God, and I'll see if he gives me permission to go. And we know, and that we saw this last week, the musical interlude. It's all good. It wakes us up. It's good, Sylvia. So what happens is like this, that last week we saw, actually it was two nations. Moav made an alliance with Midian, as we saw last week, that all the nations, they hate each other, but they'll make an alliance, anything, when it comes to hating the Jews, no problem. And so a few different messengers come, and Bilam says, wait, and I'll see what God says. And God at night says to him, no way, there's no way you can go, you cannot curse the Jewish people. And he has a whole conversation, I won't curse them, maybe I can bless them, maybe I can this, that, the other. And Hashem says, no, I don't want you to go. So he sends away the messengers. He is honest in the morning, and he tells them that Hashem has not given me permission to go, but he adds the words, to go with you, implying, perhaps, that it's the messenger's fault. It's not that Hashem doesn't give him permission outright to go, but it's that these are the wrong messengers, meaning, as we saw last week, I need more important messengers. And if I'm sent more important messengers and more money, a higher price, perhaps Hashem will allow me to go. So today we will see how Balak doesn't give up, because he's obviously very afraid, and he's sending a new set of messengers. And let's see what happens with the new set of messengers and how Bilam reacts. So if you look on your pages, so what we are is in It's in chapter 22, Perek Chaf Beis, in Parshas Balak, which is Chumash Bamidbar. And if we see, I know we read some of these Pesukim, but it finished over here. I just wanted to quickly reread from Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayakam Balak, Vabaker. Bilam gets up in the morning, Vayayimer El Sari Balak, and he says to the officers of Balak, Lechu El Artachem, travel back to your country, Ki Me'ein Hashem L'siti L'Halech Imachem, because Hashem refuses, he does not give me permission to go with you. And as we see, with you. That's what he impresses, you. It's you guys that are the problem. So the officers of Mayav get up, they come back to the king, to Balak, and they say, Me'ein Bilam Halach Imanu, again stressing, Bilam refused to go with us. So what does Balak do? Vayayisef oid Balak shlayach sarim rabim v'nichbadim me'ele. So Balak kept on sending, so he sends officers, more officers, and higher ranking than these. Okay, so he gets the message, this is not dignified enough, whatever it may be, we have to send more important. Okay. Vayavayu el Bilam, so they come to Bilam, vayayimu lai, and what do they say? They say to him, Koy Omar Balak, they're coming with their mission, so says Balak ben Sipar, Al natimana mehalech elai, do not refrain from going to me. So he's like begging him, please, we're stuck. The Jewish people are there, we're petrified. Please come. And why? And he tells him, he motivates him, and he says, Ki chabei dachabetcha, I will honor you very, very much, ma'id, very much, v'chol asher taimar elai ese, everything you say to me I shall do. Ulecha, just the only thing I beg you is to come. No, please come. Kavali es ha'am hazeh. They give an interesting word. It's to curse, but it's a strong type of word for cursing because this arur and this kava. Kava is even a stronger curse. Do this to the Jewish people. Come and curse the Jewish people because I'm petrified. Okay? So what does Bilam say to these new messengers? Vayan Bilam. So Bilam answers. Vayomer, and he says El Avdei Balak to the servants of Balak, Im yitain li Balak malay beisai kesev izav. If Balak gives me his house full of silver and gold, lo uchal la'avar espi Hashem, I cannot transgress the word of Hashem Elokai, my God, the word of Hashem, my God, la'asais ktana ay gedayla, to do even a small thing or a big thing. It sounds like he's such a holy man, you know, he's admitting that Hashem is the one who's in control. We'll see in a minute how he admits it, but what's fascinating is the language that he uses here is, even if you give me your whole house full of silver and gold, which implies everything we can see from the way he says what he means. What he means is, I want your whole house full of silver and gold. That's what he means. And that perhaps is the only thing that will motivate me to come. And we are told that Bilam was extremely, besides for arrogance, he was very, very greedy. Very, very greedy. And we'll see that his greed overrode everything. We'll see that's what comes through, both his arrogance and his greed literally overrode any rational decision that he's about to make. And anything based on his own experience of life that he should have understood based on what will happen now. Okay, so what happens? So now he tells them, V'ata shvuna bazeh. So now you too, please stay here. Gam atem, also you. Where should you stay? Halayla, tonight. That night, as we mentioned last time, he's has to unfortunately admit that he doesn't have the ability, you know, he doesn't have the free line to God. He doesn't have the telephone that he can call any time. He has to wait for the night, and he has to hope that Hashem will appear to him at night, and he has to admit that because he has no choice. So they have to spend the night, and he's hoping that he will be able to receive a message from Hashem tonight, if he's allowed to go or not. And then that's what he says, Ve'eda ma Yosef Hashem daver imi, I will know what Hashem will add in speaking to me. Again, add, because Hashem has already told me not to go. But let's see. Vayava elekim el Bilam. So taka that night, Hashem appeared to Bilam, Laila at night. Vayomer loy. And what did Hashem say to him? Hashem says, In likroi lecha, if men come to summon you, ba'u ha'anoshim, these men came, and others, they came to call you, kum leich itam, get up and go with them. V'ach es hadavar asher adaber ilecha, But the thing which I speak to you, oisai tase, that's what you will do. So this is already a bit of a change, because originally Hashem had said, no, you can't go with them. And now it sounds like Hashem is almost giving in. It's like a child begging, you know, how many times you beg. And then, okay, you can go with them, but just know that you will have to say everything that I tell you to say. Just keep in mind a few fascinating things here, that it sounds like Bilam is sort of getting Hashem on his side. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like Hashem is agreeing, and we'll see in a minute how Hashem reacts afterwards, which seems a bit strange. And the other thing is, why? Why does Hashem even tell him he can go? What is this? He should go there, and he should, and he's a Rasha, he's a wicked man who hates the Jewish people. Even if Hashem wants him to say good things, who knows what's going to come out of his mouth? Why would Hashem put anybody in this position and give and almost like sanction his going? What is the point? What's going on here? So we'll see soon. Just keep in mind, the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh gives a very interesting insight. But let's see what happens. And actually, the Mefarshim tell us that in Bilam's mind, this was so good, because he said, if Hashem is shifting, well, then he might shift more. So even though it's true over here, he says, you're only going to be able to speak what I tell you to. But you know, before, originally, he said, don't go at all. Now that he's letting me go, maybe I will be able to get some of my words in as well. So he's very encouraged by this that Hashem tells him. And let's see. I just want to see before we go further if there's any Rashi on the previous page that I wanted to do. That one we did. Okay, go back in Yud Zayin, the page before in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, Loi yuchal la'avar, I am unable to transgress. Because he tells them, I have to wait to see what Hashem tells me. So Rashi tells us, al karchai, against his will, gila, he disclosed, shehu bershus acherim, that he's under the authority of others. V'nisnabekan, he unwittingly prophesied here, she'ena yachal levatel habrachas, that he's unable to nullify the blessings, she'nis baruchu ha'avais, by which the patriarchs were blessed, mipi ha'shchina, from the mouth of the Shechina. He has to say it, he has to actually verbalize it. It doesn't matter what he thinks, but the fact that he has to say this is very strong, and it actually, interestingly enough, even though the Jewish people don't hear these words, but they become part of our Torah. So it's a certain, and if you want to say from the mouth of the impurity, to have to admit that Hashem is in control is a tremendous thing for us, so to speak, to give us that sense of encouragement when we have our own voices or our own people telling us things that oppose Hashem, and we realize they really have no control. Only what Hashem tells them is what they will be able to do. And this is a powerful thing that's put in for eternity here. Okay? And then he says, look, he says, Gamatem, you too. He says, Pivich Shila, his mouth tripped him. He unwittingly predicted his failure. Gamatem Seifchem Leilech, you too are destined to go away. Bepache Nefesh, with dejected spirit. Just like the first ones. What do you mean? Because at the end, he doesn't curse the Jewish people. So nobody's happy at the end of the story. But he doesn't know that yet. He still thinks he's going to manage. If you go to the next page, I just want to see one or two Rashis here. Ma Yosef lo yishan edvarav. So he says he will not change his words. Mi brocha leklala, from a blessing to a curse. Halevai shalo Yosef levarach, would that he will not continue to bless. He's like hoping that Hashem will not continue to bless the Jewish people. Tan nisnabe, so here again, he's prophesying without knowing. She'asid la'haysif lahem brachas. Not only will he not be able to curse them, but he will actually add blessings. That's what he's going to end up doing. Al yodai, through him. Interesting. This is a very interesting thing, because we're going to see in the other Mefarshim, Im Likroilach. Hashem says to him, you can go if they've come to call you. What does that mean, if they've come to call you? Obviously, they're coming to call him. So Rashi says, this implies Im Hakriya Shelcha. If the calling, if the reason that they're calling is for your benefit, V'savarata, and you are under the impression, like you're sure, Litol Aleha Schar, that you are going to have be paid for it. Kum Leichitam, arise and go with them. In other words, if it's for your benefit and they're giving you financial reward, then Hashem says, I give you permission to go so that you can gain from it. Which implies if your motivation is just for that financial gain, okay, you know, I'm not going to take away your financial gain. But if you have other intentions, and we'll see in a minute that that he definitely did. In other words, as we know, if he himself is motivated by his own hate, not just doing the job for another, well, then Hashem says that's definitely not acceptable. Okay, but we know that he's not honest and he hates the Jewish people, and this gives him such motivation to go and to do. And it's interesting, again, to understand something. Balak is the king where the Jewish people are just outside of his country. So in a certain way, we might be able to explain and understand a little bit why he feels threatened. But Bilam lives far away. The Jewish people are not a threat to him at all. He has nothing to do with anything. So this that he's willing to come, and this that he's almost at the end, we'll see, so eager to come, shows an even greater hatred, a deep hatred, because that's really the only thing that could possibly be motivating him to come and mix in to something which has nothing to do with him. And not only that, but he sees that Hashem is not so happy about it, so he knows that he's taking a very big gamble, and he's willing because of his hatred. Yes?
Can I interrupt?
Sure, sure.
Is there an explanation as to why did Hashem go about doing it this way? I mean, every other way, it's all miraculous, but it's all, you know, not as a person, especially someone with this. So why, what's the explanation? Why a person like this? Why do we have to get the message in now?
Oh, very good question. So why, in other words, why we get these beautiful blessings, dafka, through Bilam, you're saying? Or?
Yes. Why did it take an evil person again so far away? What was Hashem's
purpose. Yeah, it's a very good question. So you know what? Keep the question, because this is a big part. This is a big part of the whole story, and we'll see soon. But yeah, it's a very big one. There's a lot of different things we're going to see that similar to that question. But yes, yeah, so it's a very, very big question. Why engineering the whole story in this way? I mean, it's so simple. Hashem could have given the blessing so directly,
exactly,
you know, as he did in previous times. And also, it sounds so like, and to put the Jewish people through this, as we said, perhaps they were aware, perhaps they weren't aware, but some would have been aware, definitely, Moshe Rabbeinu, and to have that fear of these people standing on top of that mountain and looking down upon them, and who knows what's going to come out of their mouth, and then comes the most beautiful blessings. But yeah, so keep that in mind, because it is a very good question, and we're going to see how the story unfolds today, maybe. I don't know if today will, but next week we'll see more. Okay, so let's see a little bit more what happens now, because this is fascinating. This is like the most, you know, you talk about children's books, like, this is really such a, I don't know if it's crazy, but like I said, why anything has to happen in this way? It's just beyond. This story is beyond. And it's such a beyond story that some people will say, no, it didn't really happen like that. I mean, we're mature adults, rational people. I think now I laugh, I say rational people. The world claims to be rational, oy vavoy. So forget that. That doesn't exist. But I mean, how could we believe the donkey talks and all the stuff that's going to happen? But I have to tell you something interesting before we even read it inside, that the Evan Ezra, who's one of the commentaries that we've done a few times, the Evan Ezra, we said, lived in Spain, and he's a very rational commentary, and he many stories, he like finds a rational way to explain it, and he absolutely unequivocally says, this donkey talked. You don't have to take it out of context, it actually happened the way it says. Okay, but let's see what the story is. Okay, so what happens? So what does Bilam do? So now that Hashem has given him permission, look at this is incredible. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayakam Bilam Babaker. So Bilam arose in the morning. And it says he arose very, very, very early in the morning, as quick as he could. Vayach Baishas Asainai, and he saddled his donkey. Vayelech Im Sarei Mayav, and he goes with the officers of Mayav. Now, just to say, one important thing to notice, he saddles his donkey. He's a man, a greedy, arrogant man, who at the moment is, you know, reaching quite a high, you know, like, whoa, all these important officials have come to get him. And he goes out and saddles his own donkey early in the morning, so eager to go and do something that he can have an outlet for all his hatred, his pent-up hatred. He can let it out on the Jewish people. I want to just show you something beautiful that we know, it's a story we know, but I just want to read the Rashi, how Rashi says. In 21, it says, Rashi, Vayach Beshes Asayne, Mikan, from here we see, Shehasina Mikalkeles Es Ashura, that hatred disrupts the correct order of things. We don't need Unfortunately, we see it so much now. People deviate from their normal behavior when acting out of hatred. And we see Shechavash Hu Ba'atzmai, that he himself did the saddling. And what does Hashem say to Bilam? Hashem says to him, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says, Rasha, you wicked one, Kvar Kedamcha Avram Avihem. Avram, their forefather, he has already preceded you. What do we know about Avram? It says by Avram, the famous thing, when it came to the Akedah, and Hashem asked him to do such a difficult task. And what does it say? Vayashkein Avram Babaker. Avram arose early in the morning. Again, Vayachbaish Eschamayrei. Again, the same words. He saddled his donkey, right?
And this time it's a she-donkey.
Okay, you're right, you're right. There is a she-donkey here, that's true. And that's a he-donkey. And there's a whole discussion. A donkey, why donkey coming through this whole thing? Oh my gosh, this donkey story. There's other places where we have the donkey, do you know? We'll talk more about it next week. But we had not just before, but a few weeks ago in our Parshas, in Parshas Shemais, I think it was. Remember they mentioned the donkey there too? Es hachamar. So there's Avraham's donkey. The donkey that Moshe Rabbeinu went on when he was going to go back to Egypt. And he says he took his wife and his children and he put them al hachamar on the donkey. And Rashi brings a medrash there and he says, it's not just any donkey, it's the donkey. What's the donkey? The donkey that Avraham rode to the Akedah. That we don't have to necessarily take literally because we don't know if the donkey lived 1,000 years. But it's the same idea. It's that sort of spiritually something. And it's the same donkey, Rashi says this, that Mashiach will ride on, because it says when Mashiach will come, he will be like a poor person, right, coming on the donkey. Exactly, exactly. And this is the donkey of Avraham, of Moshe Rabbeinu, and of Mashiach. But where does Bilam's donkey, so as you pointed out, this is a she-donkey, so it's a little different. According to some opinions, do you know where this donkey originates from? Because this is a special donkey. I mean, not every donkey talks. Where does she come from? It's interesting. Okay, again, this doesn't necessarily have to be literal, but figuratively speaking, it says that there were 10 things that were created. It says it in Pirkei Avos, 10 things that were created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes, you know, between the suns. In other words, now we consider it Shabbos because we don't have an exact timing, but Hashem knows exactly when Shabbos comes in. So like just before Shabbos came in, just before between Shkia and Seis, Hashem created many things, and amongst them is the mouth of this donkey, right? The donkey that Bilam was going to use to speak. And according to some opinions, the donkey that Avraham and Moshe and Mashiach rode is the child of that donkey, of this donkey of Bilam. So whatever, they are all connected, these donkeys. This one doesn't have such a nice role, this donkey, this poor donkey. But the other donkey does have a beautiful role and gets to play. And next week we're going to discuss more what this idea of a donkey. But just let's see today the story. Okay, so now he's going to take his donkey. And Hashem says to him, you think you got up so early. There's already somebody who preceded you. You should just know you don't have much power. You are going to something really dangerous. Okay, let's see what happens. And he goes with who? As we say, Im Sarei Mayav. And this is a very big thing, Rashi says. Libai kilibam shaveh. His heart was like theirs. Equally. In other words, they all went with the same frame of mind. And this is a big problem. This is not what Hashem told him. Just keep in mind. Because what did Hashem say? You can go if what's motivating you? The gain, the financial gain. Or maybe the honor, more jobs, I don't know. But not because you hate the Jews like they do, but he went with them. In other words, it's not the money, it's not the benefit, it's just because he wants this job. And this is a big problem. Okay, so that's what we see. That's what we'll see now, what happens. Vayichar afelekim. And immediately Hashem is angry. This is a big question that, again, we're going to see soon in the Mefarshim. Hashem just gave him permission. Why is he angry? See, it's interesting. Hashem said, go with them. And now it says Hashem is angry. So what does he do? And it says, the pasuk says, why is Hashem angry? Ki haylechu, because he is going. But Hashem said, you can go. Why is he angry? So what happens? What does Hashem do? Vayisyatzev malach Hashem baderech. And Hashem stood on the road as, he says, and an angel of Hashem stood on the road, like Hashem put a malach there, l'satan loy, as an impediment to him. V'hu reichev ala soyne, and he's riding on his donkey, Ushnei Ne'arav Imai, and his two servants are directly with him. It's the famous thing that Avraham also had two. Do you remember it says he didn't go on his own? Over there was a reason given just in case. You know, it says an important person should never travel on their own. They have to have a company. So over there, Rashi gives the thing that, what?
An entourage.
But one thing is, because a person should never be on their own if they're like in the middle of nowhere, and if one needs the bathroom, and then the other, and then he'll be, and the other one will go, and I don't know, he'll be on his own, whatever. But over here, he actually explains, you can see Rashi says that, let me just see what Rashi says. Here, Ushneina Arav Mikan La Adam Chasha, from here regarding a man of importance, Hayetzel Aderechel embarks on a journey, Yaylech Imai Shnei Anashim, two men should go with him. For what reason? The Shamshai, to serve him. And they in turn serve each other. Because if they're busy with taking care of themselves, then there might be a time that they won't be there for you. Okay, whatever it may be, he has his two servants. It is significant because we'll see in a minute all the things that unfold. The question is, when is Bilam aware? So Hashem is angry, and now a malach is standing there. Who is the first one that becomes aware that there is a malach on the road? Let's see what it says. Yes, the donkey, not Bilam. That's very interesting. So what does it say? Vateira ha'asim. And the donkey saw. What does the donkey see? Malach Hashem, the Malach of Hashem, Nitzav Baderach, standing on the way. But it doesn't just describe it as a Malach, but v'char by shlufa biyadai, with his sword drawn in his hand. Vateit ha'asim min haderach, we know. The donkey turned away from the road. Vateilech basodeh, and it goes into the field. Vayach Bilam es ha'asim. So Bilam hits the donkey. Lahatoisa haderech, to veer her back onto the way. So you can see from here that Bilam is unaware that there's a malach of Hashem. This is very important because of a few reasons, just on a simple, simple level. Here is Bilam, the one that they've hired. Why have they hired him? Because officially he's this great spiritual guy, right? And he's in touch with God. Like he is not aware that there's a malach, but the donkey is aware. That already shows you who Bilam is, right? So that's part of the message for us and for the Jewish people, as we can see that no matter what they think, and if Hashem does allow negative things to happen through these terrible people, it's only a prescribed amount when Hashem decides, but they don't have real power. Definitely not. And there's no point to actually be afraid of them as such. Okay, but Bilam himself now is going to be really humbled. There's a lot of details to the story, but I just want to see exactly how it unfolds, and we're going to come back. Let's just see quickly. So now the donkey has to come because he hit him. So what happens? Vayamid malach Hashem. Now the second time. Again, the angel of Hashem stood. Where does he stand? Bim mishol hakramim, in the footpath of the vineyards. Everything's very significant. Originally, it was on a pathway that had a right and a left, and the donkey veered into the field, and now Bilam hits him, he goes back on the way. Now, the second time, there's a vineyard. So what happens? What happens by the footpath of the vineyard? And as he says, there's a gadar mizeh, v'gadar mizeh, a fence on this side, and a fence on that side. Vateira ha'asen es malach Hashem. And the she-donkey saw the angel of Hashem. And what does she do? Vatilochetz el hakir. So she presses against the wall. Esregel Bilam, the foot of Bilam, el hakir, v'yosef lakaisas. So, hits again. And then what happens? The A again. V'yosef malach Hashem avar v'yamayt b'mokim tzar. So now the third time, the malach of Hashem comes and stands in a very narrow space. There isn't even where to veer at all. And what happens now? Now this malach is standing with this sword. And what should the donkey do? So what does the donkey do? Asher ein derech, it says clearly, there is no room, lintos yamin or smol, to go right or left. Vateira ha'asain, so the asain sees this donkey, sees this malach Hashem. Vatirbat tachas Bilam. So she just crouches underneath Bilam. Vayichar af Bilam. So Bilam gets really angry. Vayach es ha'asain v'makel, and he hits the donkey with his staff. And then comes the grand pasuk. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'asain. And Hashem opens the mouth of the donkey. And what does she say? What's coming out of the mouth? Vatayimer le Bilam, and she says to Bilam, Me asisi lecha. What have I done to you? Ki hikisani ze shalosh regalim, that you have hit me these three times. Very significant words. You see the word for times in Hebrew. Usually, what word would we use? Pa'amim. Well, why does it use regalim? Okay, it obviously is significant, and we'll see, reminding us of our Yom Tov. But three times, three regalim, you've hit me. Vayomer Bilam la'asa. And so Bilam, now just, it sounds crazy, but the donkey first saw the malach, right? Bilam was unaware and did all the things that it did. Now the donkey is opening up its mouth to Bilam, right? And what happens? What does Bilam do? I mean, if you had a donkey talk to you, I don't know. I'm faint. I don't know what I would do. But Bilam is just in such a state. It's quite, I mean, it's sad to say it. I don't even want to use the example, but it's so raw for us now. We see how hatred and a person can be so driven, so emotionally driven, that nothing but nothing stops them, and nothing but nothing shakes them up even and gets them in the right way. Nothing, 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 nothing. See what happens to Bilam? He just starts having a conversation with his donkey as if that's what he does every day. Why? Because Bilam is now fixated, focused on one thing only. That's it. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So he hit the donkey, says, what have I done to you? They hit me these three times. And now Bilam, Vayomer Bilam la'asein. So Bilam answers. He says, ki yisalalta bi, you have mocked me. Lu yesh cherev biyadi, if I had a sword in my hand, what would I do? Ki ata harakticha, I would have killed you right now. Then the donkey says, Vatimer Asa, and donkey speaks again and says to Bilam, Haloi anoichi asaincha, am I not your donkey, asher rechafta alai, that you have ridden on me, me oitcha at hayoim, you know, from sort of forever until today, at hayoim as until this day, ha haskein his kanti, have I been accustomed, did I do this all the time, la'asais lecha kai, to do such a thing to you? Like, what's going on? Don't you stop and think that something is unusual? Something is different? How can you be reacting in this way? So, what does Bilam say? He has to admit, no, you never acted this way. You're right. Something is unusual here. And then, after the conversation with the donkey, then Hashem uncovered Bilam's eyes, Vayares Malach Hashem, and he sees the angel Nitzav Baderech that's standing on the way. Vacharbei Shlufa Biyodai, and his sword is drawn in his hand. Vayikad Veishtachvu La'apav, and he bows down. This is a very strange story, but so I just want to read two more psukim because we want to see what the Malach says. Vayemrei Lov Malach Hashem. Now the Malach speaks. Okay, so a Malach we have already. We're not so, you know, like, oh my gosh, even though it's also quite unusual, especially as we know Bilam is not exactly Mr. Tzaddik, and here he's having a whole conversation with the Malach. But a donkey's more unusual, but here comes the Malach now. And now the Malach is speaking to Bilam. And the Malach says, he says to him, why did you hit your donkey these three times? Because behold, I went out as an impediment. Because for he hastened on the road against me. In other words, what do I mean by impediment? What the Malach was trying to say to Bilam is, I was trying to protect you. I was trying to stop you from going on with your crazy plans, with your plans of hatred, your evil, disgusting, despicable plans. And instead of taking the message that this donkey is acting in such an unusual way, something is up. No, you're just fixated on what you're doing. And therefore he says, and Malach says to Bilam, and this is so embarrassing for Bilam, the donkey saw me. You didn't see me, but the donkey saw me. And that's why she turned away from me. These three times. Had she not turned away from me, I would have even killed you. And I would have let her live. So what are you thinking? Bilam, you hit this donkey. You're crazy. You're not taking any messages at all to heart. Don't you realize how much, and underneath the message, how much Hashem loves you, how much Hashem actually, even though you are so bad and you want to do something so bad, Hashem is still trying to prevent you from putting yourself in that position, which because of what Bilam did, he was put to death afterwards. There was no question. Fate was sealed. He ended up dying at the end, not immediately, but not long afterwards. Hashem was trying to protect even you, and you don't allow yourself to take these messages and to absorb them. But the donkey, he was able to see me. So you can see already how he's trying to knock Bilam's arrogance. But what does Bilam say? Vayomer Bilam el Malach Hashem. So Bilam says to the Malach of Hashem, Chatasi, I have sinned. Ki lo yadaiti, because I didn't know ki ata nitzav l'krasi, that you are standing there to greet me. Baderech, right in front of me on the way. Va'ata imra be'inecha ashuvali, and if it's bad in your eyes, I'll return. As if he doesn't know that it's bad. So what does the Malach say? Vayomer Malach Hashem el Bilam. So Malach of Hashem says to Bilam, Leichim and Hashem, go with the men. Ve'efes es adavar asher adabrei lecha, but just know that only the words that I tell you to speak, Isai Tadaber, that's what you will speak. In other words, what the Malach really was saying here was also, make sure you tell the messengers that this is what's going to happen. Don't just keep this to yourself. Let them know that really you are not in control of what you will say. But Bilam is still gung-ho, and Vayelech Bilam, and Bilam goes, again, Im Sarei Balak. Remember with the word Im we said before? Together with them with the same evil intention. After this whole experience, Bilam is not changed. This is just, that in itself is unreal. It's beyond. It's unreal in the sense when you look at it this way, but we know, okay, so let's say it in a not in such a negative way. We know in our own lives, Baruch Hashem, we're not intending to do bad. We're not. Most of us wake up in the morning and we really, really have good intentions. But sometimes life takes over and different things and we make a little bit of wrong decisions or we react the wrong way because life is difficult and that's what we do. Hashem sets different things up. We meet this person, we see this, we hear this, we read this. And we don't take the messages on board. We don't. We just sort of lock ourselves in, whether it be our bad mood or whatever it may be, or our feeling that everything is just going to be bad. And we don't allow any of those messages to come in. And from here, we see something very powerful that throughout our day, look, it's true. Most of us don't have a donkey talking to us. That's true. And we don't get angels appearing to us every day. But Hashem has many different forms of messengers. And he does send us messages. He does. Every single day. And if we choose, and what we have to choose is not to be like Bilam, rather to be more in tune with the messages that Hashem is sending us and allow ourselves to shift. Bilam is not shifting. He's going strong and he still goes with the officers of Balak the same way that he was before. The experience didn't change him at all. This is so, it's crazy. It's beyond. It's, who experiences such a thing and it doesn't change them? But again, that's what we have to reflect. We experience many things. Does it change us? And that's what we have to realize also. It's a very powerful thing. Just, I think that's all, yeah. That's all I want to read from now, inside. Now, go to that's the psukim. We'll see the other psukim after. I just want to do some of the mefarshim on your sheet. I think it's the next page, it should be. I think so. You have some commentaries, or it's the page after. Yeah, it's probably the page after. You can see where it has the Mefarshim. So it has number 1, 2, 3. Yeah, okay. We won't do it all inside. I know it's very deep, but we'll just see some of it inside and some of it orally to understand in depth a little more what took place here. So first, Ar HaChaim, that's number 1. He actually gives us a little bit of insight into trying to understand. Because first Hashem says no, then Hashem says yes, then Hashem gets angry, and then Hashem says yes. You know, like, what's going on here? And why is Hashem even agreeing? And he said, what's the whole point of even agreeing? If he would have said absolutely no to Bilam, you saw the first time, Bilam said, I can't go, because Hashem said no. It's only because Hashem said you can go that Bilam said, okay, even though Hashem put conditions. So the Ar HaChaim HaKadosh explains quite beautifully that Hashem had this interesting logic, so to speak. So like this, that on the one hand, Hashem doesn't want anybody to make the mistake that if, like for example, if he would say no to Bilam, what would people think? People would think almost that Hashem is afraid of Bilam, right? In other words, that Bilam does have some power, and that's why Hashem has to stop him from going. Because if he does go, well, then what he says might affect the Jewish people negatively, and that's why Hashem is preventing him from going. So that's on the one hand. And on the other hand, Hashem obviously doesn't want Bilam to go and say negative things about the Jewish people, right? And he wants Bilam to know that who is going to control what he says? It's Hashem. But he also wants Bilam to communicate that to the people. And why? The reason that Hashem wants Bilam to communicate that to the people is because, as we know how the story unfolds, Bilam ends up blessing the Jewish people, right? We know that. So what do the people around think? They think, perhaps, that Hashem is not really in control and that he has to say yes to Bilam. But then when Bilam, like Hashem changes his mind the whole time, in a way also not making the people realize that it is Hashem who is guiding and controlling and orchestrating the whole event in order that the Jewish people get these tremendous brachas. So it's all part of Hashem's plan, but Bilam is not working with Hashem's plan because he keeps on resisting because of his incredible, incredible arrogance, as well as obviously his lack of real true belief in Hashem, in a sense where he thinks ultimately that I'll still up in one, you know, I'll still manage. Somehow I'll find a way to get my words in or whatever it is, something negative. The truth is he wasn't so off. I'll tell you what I mean, because Bilam does know something. He knows that when the Jewish people don't do the right thing, then Hashem is not pleased with them. And then there is an opportunity to put something negative in. Actually, at the end of the story, you know, he comes up with a plan of sending out the girls from Midian, right? And then they sin, they actually do sin. And that's when the plague does happen. So Bilam does know that he might have a way of orchestrating something negative, and that's what's motivating him. But nevertheless, what Hashem wants is at least he should be upfront, admit that he's controlled by God, but he doesn't. He doesn't want to, and he doesn't. And that's really why Hashem is very angry with Bilam. That's what the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh says. That's where the anger comes from. And where we see that Bilam felt that he could control the situation is, especially the way he woke up so early, saddled his own donkey, and goes, as we said, together with the messengers of Balak, with the same heart, the same intention as them, not understanding that he's at all controlled by Hashem. So that's a big problem. But let's...
It's so confusing because we know he's evil. So...
We know. But I'll tell you who Hashem wanted to reveal. It's a good question. But he wanted also the messengers of Balak to know, the nation of Moav to become aware also. See, the Jewish people know, but we want the non-Jewish people also. And you can see it now, how people, even with everything, you could think it's so clear. Things are black and white, and they don't see it that way. It's just incredible. And it all comes from all this muddling up. And that's what Bilam did. He muddled everything. And that's why Hashem is not impressed. So, yeah, it's quite incredible. Okay, I want to just see if I wanted to do one more thing inside. If you look at number three, just look at number three inside. V'shneinu aravim, the two men are with him, the two boys. Tzarech ladas la'ez inyan haidia. The Aruch Hayim HaKadosh says, why do we have to even know? Why does the Torah bother to tell us that he took two people with him? So we said, Rashi said a person shouldn't travel without two. As we say, la'idia derech eret, right? That's the proper way to travel. But the Aruch Hayim says, v'adayin kasha, but it's still difficult. Lama loy haidia kain, why didn't he let him know so? Ela achar shehizkir charen apay of Hashem. Why does it only tell us that he had two men with him after it tells us that Hashem was angry with Bilam? It doesn't mention it initially when he starts. It says it when Hashem is angry. So he says like this, and what happens because Hashem is angry? The angel comes and stands in front of him. So the Aruch Hayim says, we can explain by Yisbar al pi Devrei Yimzal, we can explain it according to the words of the Chazal, that they say in the Gemara, ki l'shloisha ein hamazik nira lehem. When you have three people, okay, the word mazik is an interesting word. However you want to translate it, evil forces in any form, shape, or form that they might take on will not appear when there's three people. That actually explains in the Gemara in Brachas that a person should never travel on their own at night, because when a person is on their own, they are in much more danger. That's what it says. It's an interesting thing. However people want to take it, even nowadays, you see people walking alone at night. I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice, and if it's a city, maybe it's not the same thing. We're talking perhaps where there aren't people around, but a person should be careful not to go on the run. And he says, here he had two people with him, so therefore, initially, he wasn't in any type of danger, so to speak. But he says, "Ve'in tzarech leimar shalai yazik so." For sure, he won't be harmed. Ve'kan lefisha yotza satan levilam malach hamazikai. Right now, we see that what happened: the angel comes and he wants to harm. I mean, he wants to do something to prevent Bilam from going. Ma'idia hakos of tam shalai yazik. So, why didn't the angel harm him? Right? Why did the angel only seemingly appear to the donkey and not to Bilam? And Bilam is not even afraid, because the angel first appears with this big sword, you know, it's very, very scary. Why isn't Bilam seeing it? So it says the reason Bilam doesn't actually see it is because he has these two people with him. And that's, in a sense, causing him a protection slash veil, if you want to say, where he's unable to see the danger that he's in. And there's actually interesting discussion according to some of the Mefarshim, but then how did the angel at the end, yes, reveal himself? And where were those two guys? So there's a lot of opinion. Never mind those two. Remember, there were other people that came, right? Balak sent a whole entourage. That's what he wanted, a whole important entourage. So where were they all? And it explains, according to some opinions, at this point, Bilam lagged a little bit behind. He was on his own. Because maybe because of the way the donkey was acting, so the two went up ahead, and that's why he was able to, A, hear the donkey talking, and the other, according to many opinions, the others didn't, and B, see the angel and have a whole conversation, and the others didn't. That's one opinion. But there are opinions that some of the other people did witness the event. But the reason I say that, because there's different medrashim that says that they were laughing at Bilam, and they were saying, you think you're coming to use your mouth to curse the Jewish people. And here, when the donkey opens his mouth, what do you say to him? I'm going to kill you with my sword. And all you do is hit him, right? So what's going on? You obviously don't have power. So it's a mockery of himself. So it's an interesting opinion whether he was with them or not with them. But definitely people did witness that something strange was happening. Because you see how the donkey keeps on crouching, how Bilam is getting angry, and how Bilam afterwards is having a conversation. So even if they don't see the angel, they do see that there's a conversation going on. So they know something is up, and it's very embarrassing for Bilam. Let's see, I just want to see a little bit more of the Mefarshim before the time goes so fast. See, okay, so let's look at the Sfarnu number 4. The Sfarnu says, Ki hoylechu, because he is going. Shalai haya in yanai baderech kamisha elicheu acherim. As we were saying before, the way he was walking, Bilam, it wasn't as if he was being led. He wasn't being led by others. Like it would say in a different place, you have him in Malachim, he's being a pasuk that they went, that she got up, he got up and he went after her. In other words, following. No, Bilam is not following. Bilam aval hayahaylechu kibal hadavar. He was like the master. In other words, he's gung-ho. He's going because he has this mission. He wants to do it. And he's not never mind just accompanying, but he's like almost leading the other people, you know, so excited to go and do the mission because of his hatred. And that's the negative thing. That's why it stresses it that way. I just want to see, as he says, he says, V'hu rachav al asayna, that he rides on the donkey, Yishneina Aravima, and the two men are with him. L'fichach lay ra es ha-malach, that's why he didn't see the malach, kar memzal, shleisha einam rayim ve'einam nizakim, right? So three people don't see and are not harmed. Okay, let's see how the Ramban, but the Ramban has also the same question that we had before. Why is Hashem angry if he seems to have given him permission? What's really going on? So the Ramban, Nachmanides, number 6, he says, V'anochem be'einai b'inyan zeh, what's correct? And from my perspective, ki mitchila manay Hashem shala yikale lesa'am ki baruchu. First, Hashem prevents Bilam from cursing. Why? Because it's a blessed nation. I mean, you can't curse them. They're a nation which is blessed. V'lama yelech imahem, so why should Bilam go with them? Acharei shala yikalam, since he will definitely not be able to curse them. V'heim la yachbetsu bay l'davar achar, and that's all they wanted from him. We could think maybe, and this is what they're about to, does it, they want advice from Bilam? No, they want him to curse the people. That's his strength, so to speak. And Hashem says, you're not going to be able to curse them. So what's the point of you going with them? So then he says like this, Al-Kain Amar. So that's why he says, that's why initially Hashem says, Lo Yisei Lechimam, do not go with them. Shaloi Sa'ar Esam, because you will not curse the people. Why? Ki Baruch Hu, because they are blessed. Ubi Yadua, and it is known, Ki Bilam Haydiyam Estivrei Elikim. Bilam actually told them this. Initially he told them what Hashem said. Ubalak Shalach Elav Tam Shenis, but Balak we saw, sent a second time. Ki Loi He'emin. Why did Balak send a second time? Because he didn't believe what Bilam was saying. He didn't believe that it was Hashem that didn't give permission. He thought, why isn't Bilam getting up and rushing to go with them? As we saw before, that was partially true. Is v'haysif lai kavayit b'sarim rabim v'nechbadim min harishayim v'neder laharbay schara yekvaydai. Because he thought the messengers weren't honorable enough. It wasn't, you know, enough prestige. And maybe it wasn't enough of a reward that was promised to him. So Balak's thing is, I just have to send him more money and more honorable servants, and then for sure he's going to agree to come. What happens? So let's see what happens. Rakakol biyad Hashem. Bilam. So what does Bilam do? Ana Aysam, he answers them. She'ena davar tolei b'mamayin v'lai b'tzayna. No, it's not true. It's not dependent on my will. It's not dependent on money. Rakakol biyad Hashem. It's all in the hands of Hashem. V'yishal mimeno, and I will ask him, oid, again, ma yitzava Aysa, what he commands me. V'asa, but this part he did properly, the Ramban says. Because he knows he's in the hands of Hashem. Right, that the way of Hashem is always good, the advice of Hashem. And he's the one that will show the correct path and he will show the incorrect path. And he will tell us what might either whether, you know, what will happen in the future. Hine Hashem Amar Lai. So what does Hashem say to him? Kvar Haydaiticha ki Ha'am Baruch. I already told you the nation is blessed. V'lai Sucha L'Kalalam. I already told you you're not going to be able to curse them. So therefore, V'ata Chazru L'Fanecha. Therefore, return. V'im L'Kra. So he says, but if they've come, remember the second time that they were sleeping there for the night. Hashem says to him, Im lekroy lecha bilvadbo. If they only came to call you, meaning why would they just come to call you? Why would they want you? Maybe for some consultation. Just a consultation, you know, a discussion. Maybe they want to have a discussion with you. If that's the case, Hashem says, Klamer she yisratzu belechtecha imahem al menas shalai sekalalesam. Not to curse the nation. Kasher haydaiticha mitchila, like I told you originally. Yeah. Then you can kum lechitam, you can go with them. If you know, and they know, in other words, you tell them clearly that I'm coming with you, but I'm not going to be able to curse the people. I'm only coming. Maybe we can have a discussion. I don't know, think of a different plan, whatever it may be. But definitely it's not going to be cursing. What does Bilam do after the second night? What does he say to the people? So it says, V'achas hadav rashar adab. Okay, so Hashem says, the only thing that you will be able to do is only be able to speak what I tell you to speak and do what I tell you to do. Shafilu imatzava ischole. Oh, and Hashem actually says clearly to Bilam, here he gives him a heads up. He says, and if I tell you to bless the people, you're going to have to bless them. So Hashem sets it all out to Bilam before that second time. Time when the messengers came. So Bilam knew exactly what might unfold, how it might happen. And he says, and you will not be able to be afraid of Balak. That's why it says, if they've come just to call you. And this is what Hashem wanted. So after he will let them know he's not going to be able to curse them and that he's only going to do what Hashem commands. Ki haratza in lifan of Yisparach sheyivarech es Yisrael. Why does Hashem want him to go then? Because if you think about it, why doesn't Hashem just stop him altogether? Hashem could say the second time, no. Clear, no. The first time when he said no, Bilam didn't go. But the second time we saw, Hashem said, you can go. But Hashem says, clearly you can go, but you should just know you're not going to be able to curse them. And you might even have to bless them. Why does Hashem do that? Because ultimately, and we'll see next week why, Hashem wants Bilam to bless the Jewish people. He does want it to unfold that way. So that's why he tells Bilam this. Tell them I'm going with you. I will have to do whatever Hashem wants, but I agree to accompany you. So what happens though? But we see that Hashem gets angry. Why does Hashem get angry? V'hine, haya al Bilam, but we know, as we said, Bilam was supposed to lahagid Cain. He should have told them clearly, exactly. He should have outlined exactly what he was in power to do and what he wasn't in power to do. And as he says, Hine hirsha Hashem oisi, Hashem has given me permission, liyos kroy lachem bilvav, to be called by you only. That's the only thing. Aval al menas shelo yikalo, but not to curse the Esa'am. Val menas she'im yitzava oisi levarech she'avarche. Not only that, but if Hashem tells me I have to bless them, then I will have to bless them. V'im lo yisritu b'kach, and if you don't want me to come in such conditions, yiyuman nichem oisai, then you can leave me. That's what Hashem wanted Bilam to say. Ki gam b'tam hazayis hasheinis amar Balak, because even the second time, what did Balak say? Ulechana kaval liyes hamazek, come and curse this nation. Lo yachpeitz bay, I don't want you lo hidiasi, this I don't want you to tell for the future, or to give advice. V'lo yledavar acher, zulasi lakayves ham, only to curse. In other words, Hashem says to Bilam, if you can be honest, straight up, tell them, I'm going to do only what Hashem tells me to do. And one of the things Hashem said already is, I am not allowing you to curse the people, and you might even have to bless the people. Maybe you want me to come anyways to have a discussion or whatever. That would be okay. That Hashem says, I give my stamp of approval. But we can see, what did Balak exactly say to the messengers? I want you to come for what? To curse the people. And Bilam doesn't change their minds. He doesn't even tell them anything that I'm not coming with those intentions. He implies that he is coming for those intentions. I'm coming just exactly for what you want me to come. And that's why Hashem gets really, really upset. He says, you are being very dishonest and you're not following the instruction the way I have told you to. So Bilam, you can see already, is going, as we can see, as we say, Bilam Rav Cheftzai, from his strong desire, Lalechas, to go, lo yadiyam, he doesn't tell them, and he goes with them as if he's going to be able to curse them. But this, as the Ramban says, why does it cause Hashem to be so angry? Why does Hashem even care? Because at the end of the day, Bilam's going to bless them anyway, right? Because what does it cause? A tremendous chilul Hashem. That's what the Ramban says. Why? And this is so interesting because nowadays, you know, we have it now with all the PR. You know, you talk about the PR in Israel. Why do we even care? They hate us anyway, right? We say whatever we're going to say, they hate us anyway. The truth is we do have an obligation. We have an obligation to try and explain. I don't know, maybe somebody will buy it. Some sane, rational person will listen. Most people don't listen because their hatred just blocks them. But you see what Hashem says to Bilam is, because you're going with them and not clarifying this, they think that Hashem, first of all, for the meantime, they think Hashem has given permission for the Jewish people to be cursed. So that already is such a negative thing, even in the meantime. And not only that, but afterwards, when you end up blessing them, they will think, oh, Hashem, he's not consistent. He changes his mind at will. Because Bilam said, I have permission from God. And what do they want? They want to curse. So they think Hashem has given him permission to curse. And now when the blessings come out, they'll say, oh, Hashem, he says one thing one day, and he says another thing another day. So in other words, it's a tremendous chilul Hashem that Bilam is causing, and that's why Hashem really gets angry at Bilam. That's what it says. It's quite a fascinating thing. Obviously, even that was all Hashgacha Pratis, because Hashem knew that's how Bilam would act. Part of the reason that we are told this is to understand also, as we say, all this, everything we experience, how it all unfolds. With there are the people that are outright hating, and then there's those other people who officially are not hating, and sometimes they're even worse, and they twist everything, and then they say, oh, we love you so much, and that's why, you know, we're coming out with all these things that we're saying, we care about you, and we respect you, and whatever else, and they come with all the negativity, and you can see how people, if they choose to, this is the whole point, it's in our hands, it's in our choice of a human being to choose either to see things the correct way or to see things the twisted way because of all of our agendas. And this is unfortunately what happened there, and it happens today exactly the same way. I feel I'm going to stop over here now. I know we're left with many questions and we haven't gotten really to the, I mean, we saw the story.